The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is January 10th, 2016, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com, Sorinex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Hearts Collision, that's for New York State residents, and you can get a hold of them at 518-477-7937. Also, Justin Fulner, he has it's a workout book to track all your training, and it's called, well, you can go out to two places, Amazon Prime, and you get it for $5, and it's an 8x6 book, basically, you lay it flat down, and you can do whatever you want, and on the 24th workout, it'll have a point where you can check your progress, and obviously set new goals, so you can go out and do that. He's also a U.S. Marine. He's been in martial arts for 23 years, 18 years lifting weights. And the coolest thing about this guy, besides giving us sponsorship, is he listens to the show in a shed where he trains. So that's very typical of everybody that we have with this show, and I thank Jason for that. Also, too, this is Steven Santangelo, who's on the show every month, too. He's an awesome guy in his 60s, all-around lifter. He does a ton of stuff. Unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. I'm taking all this stuff. Stuff is awesome between his greens and his winter formula. And we're going to talk all about all the heating stuff you should be taking during the winter, where it'll usually keep your immune system pretty damn strong. So you can go out to Primal Creations at AOL.com or on Facebook, STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75, and you can contact him, and he'll take good care of you. The top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, that's out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. That's a free ebook. Just leave your email address, and you won't be getting spammed or anything like that from us. That's all you'll get. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Those are our two biggest products right now. You go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. You can get down. You can, you know, download either one of those. They're life-changing. We talk about this stuff all the time. You know what I mean? Go out and commit to something and be relentless in your pursuit of it. That's what these are all about. The one strength times power is all shot in HD. I narrate the whole thing. That was one of the products I used when I knocked 43 pounds off Dennis, where he's pre-diabetic, et cetera, et cetera. Proven winner. Winner Circle is all audio. There's 12 modules. You can get whatever you want off these things, right down to routines, inspiration, the whole thing. That's what it's all about. Also, too, sponsorship is very big here, as you know. Right now for this month, you can come on the show for $100. We're doing it for the first of the year. $30 of it goes to muscular dystrophy, which, as everyone knows, both sites are dedicated to my brother Jimmy, who passed away from muscular dystrophy. The $30 goes for a flu shot for these children. Real susceptible. I know we've had a really weird winter so far this year, but a common cold will kill them, and that's what killed my brother. Turned into pneumonia. They could not save him. So it's very important. So come on board with us for the next 25 years, and I guarantee you we're going to have millions and millions of listeners to this show, because this show every day just pops bigger and bigger. So I go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. or MotivationMuscle.com. Well, today we have a good friend of the show. Bill Crawford's back with us for the first of the year. We missed him last month, and we're going to talk today about the Dinny Stones, because one of the things, you know, Bill's been over there. He's done it. Adam Glass and I are possibly looking at that at the end of the year. There's a lot of buzz because this one of the things we're being known for now is stone training and the sandbag training, and we got the Highland Games guys on here and everything else, and we couldn't be happier. I want to give you a little bit about Bill. Obviously, Bill is a stone lifter. He's a writer, an Olympic lifter. He's a medical doctor, of course, too. We don't want to leave that out. And he's a very inspirational guy that's really done a lot of shit. And it's pretty great to have the guy on. So, Bill, Happy New Year and welcome back, sir.
Happy New Year, Eric. Great to be back.
It's good to have you. Give everybody a little bio, and we're going to get right into the Dinnies.
Well, I like being characterized as a stone lifter. I think that stone lifting is something that you can call yourself a stone lifter. Yep. I've traveled to Iceland and Scotland and around different places in Canada and the U.S. to lift stones, and I've been involved with not just strongman, but the older the history of stone lifting and the older history of strongman, and try to understand those things and talk to the best resources that I could get to understand these places and really look at them. And typically when I go to a place, I end up going back a time or two just to fully understand it, because I think it's like anything else. You go once, you get a general understanding, and every time you go, you get a deeper understanding. So being called a stone lifter is a good thing. But I do work as a physician. I'm a father and a husband. So
yeah,
this is my avocation, but that's my passion, is stone lifting. I still lift stones. Even in the winter, in my garage, I've built the third garage bay. It's a gym, and I've got natural stones in that gym. So practice what you preach.
Well, let me ask you this, too. I don't think I've ever asked you this. I mean, you were an accomplished lifter, obviously, before you lifted stones. And I never remember reading anything you've written, and I could be totally out of whack here. But what was it, man? What did you see that made you want to lift the stone? I know that's a basic thing, but everybody's got a different idea of why they did it. What propelled you into stones? And then we'll lead right into the Dinnies.
Well, I think it was almost like fate, to be honest with you. My weightlifting coach I've talked about many times, Jack.
Yep.
Steve Jack actually worked out at his gym, and you know, got to know Steve, And then on top of that, I'd moved to New England, to New Hampshire specifically. I moved to Boston first and then New England for work.
Yep.
And then to New Hampshire for work. And I met Eric Sauvay and Robert Troop and Dana Florence, John Lundstrom, Bill Bailey, all these great guys who were Highland Games guys and, you know, was doing Highland Games with them. Come to find out, they're stone lifters. And then Stones and Strength came out, and they're just all through the book.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
basically, they said that, you know, lifting stones was one of the best ways to get strong. Over the first couple of years, my wife and I got married in 2000. And we went to Scotland for 3 weeks for a honeymoon.
Yep.
And Eric Sauvay laid out a careful map of where to go. He had not been to Scotland himself, but had read all about the stones and even, you know, went so far as to find a contact with Peter Martin, mm-hmm. Senior. And you know, I was on my honeymoon, didn't think twice about it. I literally drove right past the Inverstone and the Denny Stones. I didn't really I wasn't bitten by that point.
Right.
Fast forward 2 or 3 years, and 1 year my off season training, I said, "Wow, I really need to do something different to, you know, help my Highland Games and get, you know, to get stronger." And I'd heard that, you know, if you get your deadlift up, it'll help your throwing. You need some good off season deadlift training. I'm like, okay, I'll do that, because I'd done a lot of Olympic lifting, and I was kind of a snob about deadlifting anyway, because I was an Olympic lifter. You know, we were special and better, right?
Yeah.
So I'm joking, but. So I started doing deadlifts, and then and my friend Eric said, I called him, I was talking to him, he said, "I'm telling you," he said, "just go," he said, "you live in New Hampshire, go find a natural stone." Okay, I did.
Yep.
So I went out to a park here in Concord, and I lived in an apartment at the time here in Concord. We just moved here. And I lifted a stone, if it weighed 225 pounds, that's probably about as much as it could have weighed. And I was shocked at how weak my hands felt. I was shocked at how it was so unbalanced and how it was just terrifically unmanageable.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then the timing with Milo was that Steve Jack had written an article that said, you know, that stones, that barbells were designed to be lifted Yep. But barbells, but stones are defiant. And mm-hmm. I thought, that's what it is. And I was just bitten by it. I just love the yep. fact that you could walk outside, spit on your hands, and start doing something that would make you stronger yeah. than anything else you could possibly do.
Yep.
And here in New Hampshire, we're blessed to have tons of stones. And, you know, the riverbeds up at Loon Mountain are epic and yep. very storied. You should come and check those out sometime. Millions and millions, tens of millions of beautiful river stones of all shapes, sizes, and colors. In a riverbed probably about 200 yards wide.
Wow.
And it goes for miles. And as far as you can yep. see in both directions, it is a fantasy land of stone lifting. So I just got into it that way. I started collecting stones. And then in 2005, we said, look, let's just go to Scotland. So my friend David Webster, you know, whom I know through High yep. Games, I said, David, can we come and meet you? And this is back when, you know, the stir was still there, but it hadn't really intensified as to where it is now, I don't think.
Right.
And so we went and met David and went for a stone lifting tour of Scotland. And I can tell you more about that in a minute.
Sure. Okay. Well, you know what I want to ask you too, and we'll make it quick, because you and I have talked about this both on and off. The thing is, I think you got to settle it with yourself, especially if you've been lifting barbells forever. Do you think? Well, I know what you're going to tell me. I know what I think, too, because I really would like to just try it the whole way, totally commit to it. What would you think about someone totally just lifting stones? I mean, nothing else, you know, because we know we can front squat a stone. We can put it overhead. But I'm talking training. Because I remember one of the articles you wrote, I think it was in Milo, where basically you said, and this isn't a quote for you. I'm breaking it down how I read it. And correct me if I'm wrong. Basically, your body kind of – it was like a metamorphosis. I remember you saying your skin felt thicker. Your hair, your beard felt, you know, thicker. You know, obviously your ligaments and tendons were worked to death and you got stronger and stronger. Can you make a living off that? Say you want to go to Scotland this year, next year, and suddenly you're going to change your training up, maybe breaking it a little bit at a time as you know, move away from the barbells. Can you make a living on that totally if I say to you, all I'm going to do is stone lift and rotate it in and out, different things? What's your feeling on that, Bill?
Oh, I've done that before. I've lifted yep. a stone. I think I've told this before. When I really was pushing myself to get stronger, I was lifting stones every day. And mm-hmm. that's really difficult, because if you go on a stone lifting tour and you lift stones 3 or 4 days in a row, if you yeah. can lift stones every third day, or every fifth day, like you're, you know, training to get a big squat or deadlift, you're going to bonk because your hands will not be able to handle it. So you have to,
okay.
you have to, that. And I found that out after the stone lifting tour, my first tour to Scotland. So if you're going to go for a multiple day tour of a country or, go somewhere that you want to lift stones for several days in a row, you have to lift stones every day. And I have literally forsaken the barbell. Let's put it this way. My deadlift will not go down that much if I just stone lift. My stone lifting suffers if I don't stone lift. I can be, you know, squatting heavy, deadlifting heavy,
sure,
doing my
sure.
good mornings really heavy or whatever heavy training I'm doing, heavy bent over rows, whatever. But if I'm
yep.
stone lifting, I can feel it. My hands just can't, you know, they just don't have that strength and that toughness. But if I'm stone lifting, my
yep.
deadlift will stay up. And sometimes I'll lift stones for like 3 or 4 days.
Yep.
Then the next day, or I'll take a day off and I'll say, well, I need to get some deadlifts in. And I'll deadlift and I'll say, well, the deadlifts don't feel like they're that hard, really. You know,
right.
You know, I'm not trying to kill myself or anything, but I can pull a good weight.
Yep.
And I say, wow, you know, that comes from just the stone lifting.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that. You can front squat the stone. I wrote an article about just training that way.
Right.
And
right.
with, you know, slabs and,
yep.
you know, front squats. You can walk with a stone. You can do bent over rows with a slab. You can pick yep. stones of different weights to clean and press a stone. And they had a thing in Milo about what's your favorite 15-minute workout when you're busy? And I said, just simply that. Just go out,
yeah.
take my training slab and lift it a few times, then front squat it a few times.
Yep.
Get a smaller stone and shoulder it or press it. And that's in 15 minutes you're spent and you're just not going to get any stronger than doing that.
Well, you know what I like too about it is, I like to take, you know, we've got so many stones at my house now and they vary from 50 to over 400. And, I'll take the ones from like 50 up to 200 and there's a ton of them. And I'll just sit there, and even if I'm walking 10 feet with them, I sit there and just make piles of stones and then go back and empty the pile and go back to where they were again. That will just crush you, man. I mean, I don't care. You know, most people are like, oh, it's only 200 pounds. I said, well, go back and forth a half dozen times with a pile of stones.
Yeah.
You know, and people don't realize, and you're right, because your hands – even the other day, you know, I was using a 3-inch bar because I told Bill offline before that I've gotten back into the 2-inch, the Apollon, and the 3-inch bar, and I'm really going to kind of stay with it because I've got some ideas why I'm doing this, and I want my grip to limit what I'm using right now because of the way I'm stone lifting. And I'll tell you what, the next day that webbing between your thumb and your first finger there, I swear to God, I couldn't even open it up and straighten it out. It hurt so bad, you know?
Yeah.
But you know something? Take a look at yourself like the next day too, your hands, because there was an old guy, this guy Craig Morrison. He was the big YMCA here. It was an old dump back when I started, and we used to all go there, and the furnace was on in the summer and everything. And I remember him always saying, because he was like about 5'7", and he was probably about 230. This guy was gigantic, man, like the biggest dude I ever seen as like an 11-year-old, okay? And he used to always say to me, you know how you know you're going to have a good workout? And I'm like, how? He goes, your hands will be pumped as hell that day. And I still, whether that was just something to get you motivated or what, like I looked the next day and my hands and wrists were just rocketing, man. You know, the veins are popping out and the muscles are all there. So I always think that. But I think that the stone lifting, you know, Bill, there's a couple things I wish I knew when I was 11 years old. I wish I knew about stone lifting and sandbag lifting, because I really think that it would have propelled my lifting much further. But that's, hey, you know what? You're here today, and you know the stuff now. Let's talk about the Denny's, obviously, and let's get right into it.
Well,
if you got anything to add, but before we go.
I've got a little thing to add. If you want somebody who only lifts stones,
yeah,
go on the Internet. I don't know if you've heard of Reagan Bridge.
Yeah.
He lives in New Zealand.
Yep.
Yeah, so check him out. He lifts the most unbelievable stones ever. His first video on YouTube, his wife had posted it, and he shoulders a 500-pound stone.
Yeah, I remember.
Everybody thought that was fake, that he was some kind of – I wrote an article with Milo, and I've got a bunch of pictures from him, but he thought he was fake. So Jonah McFarlane went down. He's New Zealand's strongest man and a Highland Games athlete. And basically they did a video and put it on YouTube. And so Reagan weighs about 230, 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
He's got, like you said, he's got huge forearms and hands. He's a farmer and he's got all the right muscles in the right places. Kind of like the old Russian weightlifters. They didn't look like bodybuilders, but they looked like fantastic athletes. And, he went down and lifted with them. And Jono's like 6'4", 6'5", weighs 340 or something. And he got schooled by this guy that weighs over 100 pounds less.
Oh, yeah.
And also Reagan was about 40 years old and a dad. But that's a guy who's only lifted stones. If you want to see somebody who is absolutely ridiculously strong, and he lifts stones.
Yeah, I remember that article in Milo. The guy looks absolutely brutal.
YouTube and you can see him.
See him.
You can actually see him lifting those stones. Reagan is just an unbelievable stone lifter.
Have you ever met him, Bill?
Not in person, no, because he doesn't travel outside of New Zealand, and I haven't had.
Oh, he doesn't. Okay.
No, and we have a lot of mutual friends. We've actually passed things back and forth with each other. I know guys from New Zealand who've traveled for Highland Games, and we've sent each other a lot of videos and talked on the phone, and a lot of YouTube and
emails,
that kind of thing. So.
You know, this, I'll tell you one thing. You can never, this stuff is just so damn interesting. You couldn't fill 10,000 shows with all the stuff that's out there. You know what I mean? It's like you're going to meet somebody else, or you're going to see somebody else, or you're going to discover your stuff yourself. It's amazing what a rock everybody think a rock, well, big deal. It's just amazing what you can learn from a stone, you know, and I'll leave it at that. You know what I want to ask you, too? Basque stone lifting. Have you ever had any interest in that?
Yes, very much. I've the Arnold's going to have a couple of Basque stone lifters that are going to come.
Oh, cool.
Dr. Terry Todd and Dr. Jim Todd had traveled to Spain last year, and they filmed a 30-minute documentary with Rogue as the sponsor, and it's called Levantadores, which means stone, which means stone lifter. The weightlifter and stone lifter are the same word in Basque language, by the way.
Okay. Yep.
And they call themselves weightlifters, basically. But it's the whole story. It's about it's a 30-minute documentary. You can actually look at it on YouTube. Levantadores. Sure. And it's about Basque stone lifters, and it's a fantastically, beautifully, artistically done thing about Basque stone lifters. But I've very much been interested in Basque stone lifting, and I would envision that people would practice stone lifting in the traditional ways, like Basque stone lifting, or the basic Scottish stones, or the Icelandic stones, or the Tahitian stones, or the stones in Georgia, you know, the country, not the state.
Yeah. Yep.
Stones in Japan. Yep. There's actually a stone lifting festival in Japan that I've heard of. Yep. So.
I mean, anything you'd ever be interested at this point to attempt or not?
What, to go to the best?
Well, would you ever?
Absolutely.
Would you ever?
Even just to go and
witness it.
But I'm sure I could. Yep. I'm sure I could lift many of the stones. But it's a different style.
Yeah.
You know, they have different shape. They have a cube. They have cubes. Triangles. Yep. They have cubes, rectangles. These things that look like kind of like toilet bowls. I can't remember what they call them. And spherical stones. And that's what they lift. And they lift some unbelievable stones. They'll take a 100-kilo stone, 220-pound stone, and lift it for 5 minutes. They'll get like 50 or 60 reps. If you've ever done that, that's a joke. That's ridiculous. That's unbelievable. You're a machine if you can do something like that.
Well, that's why you got to love when people say, you know, they like to keep throwing that word cardio out. You got to have one hell of a strong-ass heart among all your other organs and your bloodstream to be able to take a 220-pound stone and lift for time in 5 minutes. Think about that.
Right.
I mean, that's like deadly.
I've done that. I did my personal best. It was 34.
No shit.
And I can tell you my hands are killing me the next day.
Do you have any skin left on them?
I was completely spent. Completely and utterly spent.
I'll tell you one thing. Billy, your son, if he's got a hell of an opportunity with you, man. Think about you at his age. Granted, you had some big mentors in training. But, I mean, if your son wants to get into stone lifting, holy cow, man. Do you realize the jump he's going to have on most people?
Oh, I already have him. We've already got stones for him, and he lifts them already.
So he's gravitating towards that, obviously.
Yes, he does. And he's a wrestler now, so it's really going to help him quite a bit. And that's what I tell his friends. They all want routines to lift weights, and I tell them, get a sandbag and get some stones. I said, you guys can come to our house, and I'll show you how to do it.
That's nice, Bill. That's good that you do that for the kids, man. The kids need that more than ever now. All right, let's go into the Denny's. Hit us full speed here.
Okay, so basically the Denny's are two stones that live in a Boyne right now. They used to be in Petark.
Yep.
One of the stones, there's a lot of controversy about how much they weighed or how much they used to weigh. Gordon Denny, who was Donald Denny's distant relative.
Yep.
I met Gordon. Unfortunately, he's passed since then. He actually witnessed my first lift with the Denny stones. He had the stones commissioned to have replicas made, so he had exact weights taken. And the large stone weighs 411 pounds, and the small stone weighs 300 the large stone weighs 413 pounds. The small stone weighs 321 pounds.
Yep.
The large stone has a big thick ring on it. I've got the exact measurements I took, and I've passed those along to a number of people in the past. Jack Shanks actually had an engineer make a diagram of them.
Yep.
About 40 years ago, and Jack passed that off to me. And I had that diagram published in Milo, so it's freely open to everyone to look at as to the dimensions of the rings and the stones themselves.
know what I got? Not to interrupt, but he doesn't make them anymore. I got these. Supposedly, they're the exact same rings when David Horn made them.
Yes, and he just basically taken. He went up and just did what you should do.
Yep.
Measure them.
Yep.
I took a piece of paper and circled it, and when I got home, I did the measurements, and also got the measurements from Jack. I had rings made that were replicas. So what's the stir about the Denny Stone? So Donald Denny's father was a stonemason, and mm-hmm. Donald would help him. They were farmers, but they were also stonemasons. The Brigadier, which is the bridge over the River Dee at Park, is a beautiful old stone built arched bridge that crosses over from the A-93 to the town of Petark, and it's right off of A-93. When you're driving down, you can see the bridge. I can visualize it now, and the hotel is right across the other side of the bridge. So what they would do is they would take these two large stones and put them to the side of use them as ballast to be able to take boards and work off of those, throw a board over the side and crawl down, and they would point the bridge. In other words, rework the mortar, repair the stone, and keep the bridge maintained.
Yep.
Sometimes painting the bridge or whatever was necessary. It was stylish to paint the mortar white at one point, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So those stones were on one side of the bridge, and Donald's father needed the stones on the other side. So it said that Donald Denny reached down and picked them up and carried them across the width of the bridge. I think what he probably did was straddle the stones and then lift them up and then kind of swing them a foot or two at a time and get them across that 17-foot span. He did not walk the length of the bridge, you know, up and over and down 100 feet. You know, or over.
Yeah.
He did not. That's not what it was said. It was 17 feet across, which is a fairly narrow bridge, frankly. So what happened was these stones it became known far and wide. Many people came and looked at them and tried them, and they lived. They were actually just sitting out in front of the old Petark Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone could come up, just walk up and try them, and they were sort of a tourist attraction. And unfortunately, what had happened is that the stones had been rolled down into the River Dee.
Mm-hmm.
And so back in the 1950s, David Webster, a cyclist told him about finding a stone that had 265 printed on the side in the River Dee. So,
okay.
And so they went and rolled it out of the River Dee, and that was the Inverstone.
Yep.
Snooping around, and he heard that the Denny Stones were probably, if they were anywhere, were in the River Dee as well. So he and his friend Alec Thompson, who was his hand balancing partner and lifting partner, took two old standard barbells. I mean, basically, iron rods,
mm-hmm.
and went to the bottom of this hill. And I've got video of myself with David explaining this at the very site.
Oh, cool.
And cool. So they went down to the river and pulled the stones out, and the handles were in terrible repair. So they put the crossed the two barbells between those handles and dragged them up and carried them up to the hotel, both
mm-hmm.
of them. And then had someone refit the couplings on the rings.
Yep.
So David basically resurrected both sets of stone, both the Emperor and the Denny Stones.
Yep.
And then they started just to show people what it really was like. They would have these strength exhibitions, sort of like a vaudeville show, and
mm-hmm.
they had at the Aberdeen Music Hall, and in 1954, David told me, this is written in his book, World History of Highland Games, and also the Donald Denny book that he wrote, World's First Sporting Superstar, both great reads that David had written. And so they had a competition where they said, anyone who can carry with one hand the small stone, about 25 feet across the stage, would get a 20-pound prize.
Yep.
I think it was 20 pounds. Which back then, that was basically a week's wages for any worker. So this was a lot of money.
Yep.
So a whole Highland Games athlete. He was actually quite a great Highland Games athlete named Henry Gray. Mm-hmm. Got it almost made the whole way across with one hand, with carrying the lighters with two stones across the stage. And he didn't quite make it, but the crowd was so insistent that they awarded him the 20-pound prize.
Nice.
And so from there, the stones went back to the Petark Hotel. Many people yep. tried to try it, but the only successful lifts were with straps.
Okay, yep.
And so David Prowse, who ended up being the Darth Vader at Star
Wars. Darth Vader, yeah.
He actually lifted them, but he lifted them with straps, and this is back in the 60s. So it was kind of thought, you know what? No one has ever really even much less carried these. No one has actually had the hand strength to pick them up barehanded.
Mm-hmm.
So a policeman from Belfast, Northern Ireland, by the name of Jack Shanks, he was in his 40s, he basically built Denny replicas and rings and started training. Mm-hmm. And lifted to train to lift the Denny stones. So he went to lift the stones, and he sent me the picture of his first lift. He's wearing a tie.
I remember that picture.
He's wearing a tie, yep. and he lifted those stones, and then they took pictures of it. He told me actually he went. He was supposed to make the lift on Monday because that's when press could show up and take the pictures. So he went secretly out late on Saturday night and lifted them just for confidence because his stones were much bigger at home.
Yep.
You know, he's sort of the overload principle, something he went into. I wrote a big article about Jack and Milo years ago, and it was just a real super pleasure to talk to Jack.
Yep.
Very nice man. One picture that he sent me that I put in Milo is him standing between two cars.
Two cars, yep,
he's
I remember that.
One in each hand he's lifting up, and a girl sitting on top of one of the cars.
Yep.
And
if I recall, too, Bill, he was not a real big bodyweight guy either, was he? Because
he weighed about 180. He was sort of like Bob Peoples, you know, the great deadlifter who set the
yep. –
the world's record of 725 back in 1947 at the age of, I believe Bob was 40 when he did it. And he weighed 180. And it's this big thing with Jack Shanks. Jack didn't weigh much over 180 pounds.
Yep.
You know.
Unreal. Well, I look at the same way with, like, Adam Glass. I mean, he's gone into all those big grip things. And guys, he weighs 200 pounds, and he's got guys, you know, 200 pounds heavier. I think the one thing he went into, I don't remember what they were doing. Odd Hagen was the guy that beat him. You know, he beat everybody else to that point, and that's when he lost to him. But, you know, everybody's big on body weight with everything. It does help you. But, man, you see these exceptional people. I mean, a Bob Peoples or Shanks or any of them. I mean, that's amazing when you can see what they can do, and that puts that kind of all the rest too, you know?
Right. Well, Jack sent me his the way he did his training. He didn't do a lot of squatting. He said he just never liked squatting. But what he did do, he did a 600-pound hack squat.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
He also did a 900-pound partial. Jefferson lift. That's where you straddle the barbell.
Sure.
Inside of a rack.
Yep.
But it was a partial, so probably lifted it about a foot total. I want you to go try that. 900 pounds. And he sent me pictures as well. I have pictures. Also, his training stones were basically concrete blocks that he had made.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've got Denny replicas that are in my yard.
Oh, okay.
A whole set of them. I made small ones up to big ones, so anyone can come and kind of try their hand. I've got a set that's pretty close to weight.
Nice.
They probably weigh about mid 600s, as opposed to over 700 pounds.
700
combined.
Yeah. Yep.
I just took a compression hammer that I rented from Rent-A-Tools or something, and
yep.
and I got a 1 3/4 inch compression hammer and went through. You know, that just go through the stones. I find this center balance, and the way to do that is to put a board lengthwise and then widthwise on and find the center of gravity.
Yep.
And then that's where you drill your stone. And then I would drill the stone out, And my friend Dana Florence, who's a steam fitter, is a pipe fitter, actually welded me some pins that I could drop the stones onto.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got, I've got those to drop of all different lengths and sizes for different stones. And I train to lift the Denny stones that way.
Bill, how many stones you think you got at your house? Seriously.
To lift?
Yeah, I mean, you got to have like a farm back there of them. What do you got?
They're spread out. I've strategically placed them behind trees and all around the yard.
Yeah, so they look good too.
Yeah, I've gotten stones. We've done a couple of renovations here. When we put on another garage bay, I put another extension off the back of the house, dug for a pool. Being New Hampshire, we brought out a treasure trove of stones. I've also found stones in different rivers that I've brought here. Lifting stones, I probably have 50.
Damn, man. You could. Here's the deal. You and I both know. If you couldn't get big doing that stuff, you might as well just go home. Come on. There's no excuse for anything there, you know? I also think, too, people gravitate towards different things. And, you know, we've talked about this on our shows and stuff. You got to have some real mental tenacity to start going after stuff like that because, like Steve Jack said, you know, a stone's defiant. You can also add a stone doesn't want to be broken off the ground and lifted regardless, all right? Barbell, yeah, you might have some problems, but sooner or later you're going to conquer it as long as you stay with it. Same way with the stone, but the stone's a hell of a lot tougher. You know, we all know you get cut with them. Obviously, you don't want to drop them on something, and you and I have both had injuries from them. So I think you got to have kind of the mentality too to want to do that.
Well, I don't feel like I'm battling a barbell because it was made to lift. I'm just battling weight and my own technique.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I'm fighting a stone. I'm literally in battle with a stone.
Yep.
And that's the key behind that is that you're literally fighting these stones.
Yeah.
But I think if you're honest with yourself, when you start the stone lifting process, you tell yourself you're going to learn how to lift stones, how to read a stone, mm-hmm. how to make yourself tougher, when I show people how to stone lift, they make the same mistakes. The stone's too far in front of them.
Sure.
They don't squat down and engage their hips. They start arm pulling, you know, from the ground up. They don't leave their arms nice and straight and then stand and then get the stone in their lap and then start to bend their arms to get it around. And there's all these basic things that you have to learn. Plus, there is a tenacity. I mean, think about it. So you're going to train for months. And you've probably been already training for years. You've mm-hmm. read about these stones. You're going to go to a place where nobody's watching. Nobody honestly cares.
Cares, right,
things
exactly.
Are nuts, you know.
Yep.
And I think she finally started to get it when I was going places and, you know, people were talking to me about it, and then there was I went to another Highland Games, and they presented me with a Scottish claymore to honor you know the stone lifting that I'd done, and kind of, I guess, keeping the fires alive, writing about it, and
exactly
geared to a lot of people, and then you spend the money and you go to this place where nobody's watching,
but then you
try it, and then you report to everybody, you write about it, put it on the internet. You tell everybody that's going to listen if you failed or succeeded.
Yep.
So it just digs up every sort of – it goes against every grain of how people act today. People today they want instant gratification. They want people to slap them on the back and tell them they're great.
Yep.
You know, all those things. And you don't get that from stone lifting necessarily. You get a deeper satisfaction. And I've said this before, I think, on your show, and I've told everybody that will listen that – the stone lifting to me actually turns into a spiritual journey.
Absolutely.
It's sort of like a Japanese Zen Buddhist sort of idea about the singularity that of your mission to lift the stone. And that's kind of where you have to go with that. But I do think I thoroughly believe it's accessible to every single person, men, women, children, mm-hmm. people of all ages. You can just go out and everybody's got a stone that they can lift.
Mm-hmm.
I think the idea just that you can reach down, you've got enough flexibility in your back to reach down and pick up a stone and it strengthens your hands.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that would prevent any single person from at least trying that.
And without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the funny thing is too, you know, from using a lot of grip equipment and this and that over the years, myself included, everybody's always looking for an edge, you know, with the fingers, the thumbs, whatever you want, your wrists, you know. We're always hearing about wrist rollers, and I still, for the money, I like thick bars, fat bars. I think all I've got all that stuff. I probably got every single thing Iron Mind's ever made for your grip, including the stuff they've discontinued, all right? It's all great. But what you got me on one of the shows really thinking was, we were talking about fingers and all that and how to really get stronger. And I remember you saying to me, you know, start doing bent rows with a stone. And I was doing that, and every time, no matter what the stone was, no matter what the weight, I would dig my fingers, try to put them through it. Because you and I both know the Husafel obviously has got nothing to really grab onto. And one thing I learned from you with that too was, and I never even thought of that. It was like somebody will say, well, maybe turn the stone, you know, 80 degrees or whatever, and suddenly the thing pops off the ground. You know, as long as you've obviously trained well and you're strong, all right? Things like that, I mean, and I don't consider myself, you know, some guy that's in the backwoods with this shit, but it's like little things like that, you know, dig your fingers into stones, bent roll them, whatever you do, carry them, you know, strangle them, do all these things, man, tilt it a certain way, you know, et cetera, et cetera. These are fundamentals, like, unless somebody really knows what they're doing, yeah, you might brute force it up the first, second, third time, but you're not going to be able to continue training like that. Would you agree with that, Bill?
I would agree. I think the way I got to that point is I just lifted a lot of stones.
Yeah.
I learned to read stones. I'll tell you the thing about the Husafel stone and the same thing with the Denny stones. You know, how do you lift them? Yes, you train and you train and you train and you get yourself where you could possibly go there and have a shot at them. Yep. But the stone will tell you how to lift it. You just have to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn how to listen, and you get, you know, you're amped up. You're there, kind of, you know, really desiring to lift these stones, and you're really,
sure,
you're you know, pretty fired up. But you have to get a deep, quiet focus to really do well with stones. And like I said, it's sort of a spiritual thing. The Husafel stone told me what to do. Mm-hmm. It literally, I promise you that because the stone knows more about how to lift it than you do. Just listen to it and understand that that lesson lies inside of every stone that you try to lift. And it's like anything else. Let's say you take a barbell. I think Steve Jack used this as an example in one of his videos. If you take a barbell of 135 pounds, you can clean it, snatch it, deadlift it as a warm up.
Yep.
Now take that same barbell and stand it up and try to lift it with your hands in the center of it straight up.
Correct.
It's virtually impossible. I think I don't want to say it's impossible. Somebody will do it, but you can't do it.
Right.
So it's how you lift it. So that's the thing about a stone. You have to learn how to read the stone, and it takes experience and time to learn how to do that. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do it is to just lift stones. The reason I like doing things like bent over rows with a stone, because you dig your fingertips into it. That's another. I wrote an article a couple of months ago about in Milo about. Actually, I think the last publication of Milo was about improving my grip for stones. My grip was starting to wane a little bit as I got a little older.
Mm-hmm.
And so I basically just took a board and put it over my power rack, over the top of my power rack, a 2x8.
Yep.
And I started doing chin-ups on a board.
Mm-hmm.
That mimics very carefully what you do when you lift the stone. You have to really dig your fingertips into the board.
Do it.
And the same thing with a stone. And also what I do is I made a little contraption I just nailed some boards to the bottom of a 2x8, and I just stack plates on the bottom of it. And I bend over, and I do bent over rows with that. But it does exactly the same thing. Think about a stone. Now, when you're doing even thick, the reason a thick bar works is because it makes you focus more on your fingertips because of the diameter of the bar.
Correct.
As opposed to a smaller bar that you can wrap your hands around and engage your thumb more thoroughly.
Yep.
Also, too, the thing, but you still get to use your thumb when you use a thick bar. Now, if you use a board, you can't use your thumb, and you're only that's the tough part of a stone lift is you're actually taking away the ability to use your thumb for most almost all stones, unless it's the rings on a Denny stone, but that's different.
Yep.
So you just need to make your supporting strength with your fingers as good as you can make it.
Yeah. Do you think honestly, and I do anyways, the fingers are going to be the make or break when you're going to go pull shit like that?
Yes. This was years ago. He was a drug rep for one of the companies, and when he walked in, I could tell this was a powerlifter. The guy just, he couldn't button his top button on his shirt and for his tie, and he was a thick guy. And I said, "Hey, man, you must lift." And he goes, "Yeah." And he said, and he had driven all this way because this is when I had a small practice way up in northern New Hampshire or central New Hampshire, out in the middle of nowhere. I did that for a couple of years with the idea that I'd be a country doctor, but it didn't really work for me. very challenging. He had driven all this way to talk to me because he heard about stones. And so I said, he said, "When can I come and lift stones?" I said, "Well, I get off work and I'll close the office in about 30 minutes. I said, "Why don't you come with me?" He said, "Great, I got my gear in my car." So I went to my house. I had a 300-pound stone. Mm-hmm. And I walked over and I picked it up and put it down. And this guy's like, he weighed about – he said he was a 242-pound competitor. Mm-hmm. But he weighed about 255 at the time. And he was probably about 5'9". So you get a mental picture of this guy.
Yeah, big guy.
Probably 30 years old, he looked like a powerlifter in every single.
Yeah.
And this isn't anything about powerlifting or powerlifters, but it's just different. This guy was in my yard for an hour. I went inside and ate something and came back outside. And I came back, his arms were bloodied. He fought this stone for an hour.
Yep.
I never heard from him again. He never got it off the ground.
Wow.
Because it was his hands, couldn't get it off the ground. I'm certain if he had strong hands, he could have lifted it. I kept telling him, I said, "Look, I got a 220-pound stone over here. Why don't you try that? Or a 180-pound stone. Let's warm ourselves up and work out." "No, I want that one."
Yeah, he refused. Yep.
Yeah. Between that stone actually probably weighed about 350.
Yeah.
And then another stone that weighed, I had an Atlas stone that weighed about 300. I showed him how to lift that, and he tried that one forever. But it was his hands, and he hadn't lifted stones, and so that's the humbling part about it. It wasn't anything exceptional about. I mean, the first times I lifted stones, the first time I lifted Atlas stones, I was at Dana Florence's house, and I think I left part of my intestines in Dana Florence's garage. Trying to lift a 242-pound stone. He had those nice Roger LaPointe granite balls.
Yep.
He's got them
all
the way up to 330 pounds. But just to lift a 242, that's all I could actually barely almost.
Yep.
It just almost killed me. He says, "Okay, what about the 286? I'm like, I said, were you watching what just happened? That was close to 20 years ago. So but that was back when a 300-pound Atlas stone was real man's work,
Yeah, absolutely.
Not so much.
No, all right. So, let's fast forward. So you go to obviously Scotland, and like we talked about before the show, we'll get into the Inver hopefully on the next show. So you're going to go lift the Dinnies. Break it down and just describe what you met up with, what you did, obviously, and we know you had full success with them. But it'll be real interesting to the listeners to see what I'm sure you were pretty wide-eyed when you saw those, and just give us some thoughts on it.
So we pulled into the parking lot, and still the ominous sound of this gravel under the tire. It's just a parking lot. Yep. And the larger of the two stones was much bigger in person than I thought it would be. I mean, it is absolutely the most ominous thing you'll ever look at. In pictures, you say, "What's the big deal?" When you go actually look at this thing, it's very different. So that was my first impression. Gordon Denny had traveled to meet us. David took us. My friend Eric and Dana and I, had been training. It was probably about a month after I finished my Highland Games season, and I'd been a real Highland Games guy for quite a while. I broke them off the ground legitimately, and because I put them one to each side of my legs, but I really hadn't done focus training. I felt like I wanted to really, you know, stand up and be more, you know, have a better lift with them. So to me, it was unfinished business. I lifted them, but it was unfinished
yep.
business. So trained. I trained for a couple of years and went back in 2007. It was actually wintertime this time. It was December of 2007. And David again traveled with me. I brought my whole family this time, my kids and my wife.
Yep.
And we pulled into the parking lot. My wife saw the stone, the bigger of the two stones. She said, "You're supposed to lift that." I said, "Well, I've already done it before." And she goes,
"Yeah."
She said, "You'll never do it." So then the next, she just kind of joking with me. So the next
yep.
morning, you know, and some stone lifters from around Scotland had come to meet us, and also Alec Thompson, who was David's the guy that helped David drag the stones out of the river, came to meet us and watch.
Okay.
So the next morning, we woke up and it was a fine drizzle. It was a freezing
yep.
drizzle. So I'm thinking, wow, this is going to make this even more challenging.
Yep.
So we got out, and one of the three stone lifters was successful in standing up with getting the stones off the ground for, you know, a split second, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They were from Aberdeen, and they actually trained at the old Spartan Club. So I, you know, I wanted to walk with them, frankly. So I did the old, you know, pick them up from side to side. I lifted them several times, and I actually kind of spun around a few times, because the big one you just can't stand up completely with. So
okay.
I talked to them. I said, "How do you straddle it?" Okay, I'll finally get around the idea that you need to just squat down and pick them up like farmer's walk apparatus.
Correct. Yep.
And so what you do is you squat, you take the smaller stone and you lift that one first. From you put the larger stone in front of you and the smaller
yep.
behind you.
Yep.
And you take that way you're going to lift with your strongest hand on the larger stone. So you reach back and you lift the smaller stone off the ground some. This is what the Scottish guys explained to me. And then when you start to lift the bigger stone, you let the smaller stone fall back a little bit, almost like a counterbalance.
Yep.
Now, if you just try to lift them both at the same time, which I did, it's really hard.
Yeah.
If you lift the smaller stone and then sit back with that one to help you lift the bigger stone off the ground,
yep.
It is a lot more smooth way to lift the stones, and
mm-hmm.
it's on YouTube. I think that honestly how narrow my feet stance were, I think that's probably about the most air that's ever been under those stones, frankly.
Okay.
I lifted them a good foot off the ground, which is
wow,
not a normal height.
Yep.
Most people just, you know, you straddle your feet as far as you can and get them off the ground a little bit, and that's it.
Yep.
But so that was, I lifted them several times. There have been people that have gone and tried these things, like, you know, how many times they can rep them and all that. I think that's
disrespectful,
and it can destroy the stones. So that's part of the reason they kind of live in the shed in Aboyne now, and they're controlled by the Aboyne Highland Games, and they're brought out once a year for that. Our friend Peter Martin Jr., who unfortunately, as we've said before, passed away this past September, he arranged to have Jack Shanks' son, Stevie Shanks, go to Aboyne to lift the stones in October, and Stevie trained for a long time and kept me up to speed with his training, and he actually lifted them in October. So that's the first father son combination I think has ever lifted the stones.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
awesome stuff.
Yeah. Awesome stuff. So when that's kind of the basic thing as far as training for them, we can talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. Shoot.
So if you want to do heavy deadlifts to get ready for the Denny stones, I would recommend you not do that. I think you should just lift. You should get some kind of pins, and
yep.
even put plates. You know, get two pins and a pair of rings.
Yep.
And just plate load as heavy as you can, and straddle. And a lot of guys have done that. You know, straddle those loaded weight pins if you can't make stone replicas, which most people do train with those with the plate arrangements. I like the stones
yeah.
because you don't get a chance to warm up with heavier and heavier weights. You just have to just reach down and pick those things up, you know.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
But that's a way to do it. And what I did do was a lot of squatting, and what I did mostly was a lot of partial squatting.
Yep.
Like, or parallel or above, because that's about as deep as you're going to, you know, get down. And that I really worked on getting my my straight up and down strength. I did a lot of parallel squatting, got my squat up to, I think before we left, I did 585 for a five, mm-hmm. which for mm-hmm. a guy my age was a pretty good lift. And that's how I'd recommend training, but just lift the Denny Stone, replicas twice a week.
Yep.
And squat heavy twice a week, and all of the training that you're doing, especially when you get close to the time you're going to go, just neglect it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Focus on
it. You know, hey, Bill, there's one thing I want to ask you too, because I've gone back to the front squat a lot. Do you like front squatting as far as for lifting stones?
I do like front squatting for lifting stones. Yep. My flexibility things have suffered, so a safety bar squat does about the same thing for me. Because you have the bar, actually, when you get on it, you've used a safety squat bar. I don't know why they call it a safety squat bar, but probably for your shoulders. But it you have to push these handles forward.
Right.
And then you're more up and down. And what happens, the weight rotates where it's almost like a front squat.
Yep.
So the leg work, I believe, is more specific for something like that. And that's exactly – I should tell you that the 585 for five was high bar. I went parallel, but it was as high as I could make the bar on my back, because you want to be straight up and down as much as possible.
Yeah, yeah. So you're bolt upright.
Like a bar squat or a high bar squat. If you want a big power squat, it'll make your legs and your hips strong. But what you really need is that straight up and down. You need a lot more kind of a quad and hip strength sort of thing, as opposed to just just moving a weight for sake of a squat. You're really training specifically for that.
Bill, 585 high bar, I call it Olympic squat, obviously.
I only went to parallel. I did.
Doesn't matter. That your ass doesn't have to hit the floor.
I didn't.
Right. But I'll tell you this. Anybody that's running a bar, and, you know, we're not ripping on power lifters, anybody, but if you're, using a bar that's fairly down your back and you're doing 585 and you're blowing whatever up with it, I'd like to put it on your traps and see if he can even come up, with it. I'm serious, too, because there's a big difference in that and doing it the other way. I mean, I've seen a lot of guys that do power squats. If they went to an Olympic squat, they fail miserably on it. Seriously. And I'll tell you what
I would recommend either a front squat or a high bar squat. I would not.
I agree.
I would not back down on your back and try to.
Yep.
And a good – getting a power rack and making – if you've got a super yoke or something like that to do a partial with the high bar, I think that's a good exercise for stone lifting, particularly the Denny stones.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you another thing I've been having success with, and I've been doing most of my front squats right now. I'm using the Apollon axle, and I cross my arms, and I don't seem to have any problem with it at all. Obviously, when it gets heavier, I don't know what's going to happen with it, but I'm keep going with it. But I've been doing front squats with the Apollon axle, and I've been doing all types of, well, mainly hamstring work. I went back to using the old York iron boots.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, man, I'd put it out to anybody. Go out and work your ass off on that front squat and go right to the iron boots. I'll go back and forth. Of course, it's a pain in the ass because you got to strap them on, take them off, and go back in the rack.
Where did you get the boots?
Where did I get them?
Yeah.
I got sets of them. I got them from Roger LaPointe way back in the day.
Yeah, I got them from Roger. And I not to shamelessly put in a spot for him, but his iron boots and his straps are the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's on the show anyway, so we don't care. I will
give Roger a good I've met Roger, talked with him at length on the phone before, but I would say his boots are the – if you're going to get iron boots – His strap set up and what he has is the way to go.
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny because when you read the old York ones, I mean, he sells, the newer ones, obviously. But I got lucky. I love to see, the York sandals, basically, they're called. They're still I've got an original set maybe from the 40s even, but I can't put my feet in them because obviously people back in the day – it looks like somebody maybe with a size 8, and I wear either a size 12 or 13. It depends on what I'm wearing. These things are phenomenal. And I've also got, you know, Grimmick was real big with that stuff. And I got, you know, through him, obviously, I've got the 1-inch rod that goes through so you can pin plates to them if you want. And, you know, you start getting up to, like, we're talking 25, 35, I think you can load them to 50 with the rod I've got through it. If you're doing 50 pounds of those iron boots, man, you're going to have quads and hamstrings like nothing you've ever seen. I like doing a lot of calisthenics, like jumping with them without wrecking my feet. I do a lot of stuff with iron boots, and I'm developing more and more stuff with them. But the front squat back-to-back with the iron boots, I tell anybody out there to try it. You know, you want to get into stone lifting or just get your legs strong as iron, and maybe you're a little stale with the squat, say a back squat or whatever, that's what I would do. But I don't want to take – I mean, I know we're at time and stuff, but is there anything else you got? I mean, we can always hit this again. You want to summarize? What else you got out there, Bill?
Well, I think the training single-hand lifting.
Yeah.
And what I typically do is if you can single-hand lift a great weight with one hand, you can definitely straddle two sets and do the same. The trick is to get the bigger of the two stones.
Yeah.
It's easy enough to do. Anybody can order, say, a pin and a carabiner from Iron Mind.
Sure.
There are lots of places that you can get a ring. You can actually get rings from, you can go have a ring personally welded. I've done that.
Yep.
And it's easy as it can be. It sounds super simple. Just get a pin, load up a bunch of plates and keep working. Get to where and see how many people will call you back and tell you that they can lift 400 or 450 pounds with one hand.
Yeah. No,
probably not going to get a whole bunch of people that'll let you know about that. Because for one, it's not that it's that impossible. It's just to stick with it. You got to train it for months. And the first time you do it, 300 pounds will just – it just hurts. It is awful on your hands.
Yeah.
But I'll
because
tell you
what,
your lats and traps get a terrific workout. Let's think about this. Let's say if you can work up to 300 or 450, 350 or 400 pounds with one hand.
Yeah.
Your back is telling you – your hand in your back says, wow, you just lifted 800 pounds, right? 800 pounds because you've got – You've got that one hand handling all that weight. Mm-hmm. Trap and lat development goes off the roof.
Yep.
And your hands get super strong. The other thing it does too is because it's a little off center.
Yep.
It actually pulls kind of more on one erector more than another.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you train both hands the same.
Yep.
You know. Give each hand an equal time because everybody's tempted to just use more weight with that one hand. I never try to go heavier with the one hand than the other, except when I'm getting ready to go to the Denny Stones. I'll just let my right hand get as much weight as possible. But that way you get evenly distributed the erector work. But honestly, you'd be shocked how much work your lower back gets with that lift as well because you're kind of off balance. It's one hand, and your lower back tells you the same thing. Wow, you just lifted a lot of weight.
Yep. And just think about the abdominal work you're getting.
Oh,
it's incredible.
Yes.
I mean, even if you took a few steps, if you put that to the side, if you could do it without the plates banging against your legs, I mean, just think if you took 25 steps with a 300-pound ring in just your right hand, if you're predominantly right. I mean, it's endless what you can do with this stuff. And, you know, Bill, this is another thing. Look, I think the barbell, besides the power rack, in my opinion, are the greatest things that probably were ever invented. You know, we can obviously throw the stones right in there with it. But the thing is, people don't realize, man, the little things, you know, like Denny rings and stones and steel stones and, you know, the idea of going out and working these and what it's doing. I mean, there's nothing out there that will build power and musculature like this stuff. The thing I think that is the hard sell on this whole thing is people are so used to, well, barbell, you know, I can do whatever I want with a stone, like we were talking about, with tenacity and the commitment to them. Let's face it, you know, I'm not going to bullshit anybody. It's pretty rugged stuff. It's tough shit to go out there and lift multiple stones and say you're going to move them 20 feet and pile them up and then move them back. Or, you know, we like to fill wheelbarrows with stones and run with them, you know. All kinds of cool shit like that. Like you're talking a yoke, you know, to play around with, you know, front squatting with thick bars. All this stuff, man.
Another dimension that I didn't mention before is that.
Shoot, go ahead.
So when I travel to Iceland or Scotland, what time zone are they in?
Oh yeah.
And what's the weather like there?
Oh yeah.
You're more likely to be lifting in rain or snow, and I've done in both Scotland and Iceland. The last time I lifted the Inverstone was actually, it was winter time. I was with David, and I literally It looks like there's chalk on the Inverstone. That's called ice.
No.
The thing is an ice ball.
Yeah.
You know, so fortunately I live in a place that has not known for its great weather. We have a fair amount of rain and snow. It's actually doing both right now here today.
Same here.
And I've actually lifted stones at 5 in the morning.
Yep.
I've actually lifted stones at 11 o'clock at night.
Yep.
I've gone out in the rain.
Yep.
I've brushed snow off of more than one stone.
Yep,
and I've just pushed myself to have those conditions be part of my training. And that's the other thing, you know, I go in my gym, and it's cold out there because it's a garage, and I turn on this little space heater. The other morning it was 3 below, and it was the bar was burning my hands when I was lifting, but
I know
it's only so much, you know. But it's not like being outdoors in the elements and you know, flipping a stone over and a millipede runs out from under it. I've been bitten by those before. Those aren't very fun.
Yep.
And, you know, you flip over a stone and brush off the dirt, and there's nothing above you but the sky.
Absolutely.
And you're with the eternal stone. So that's the most basic strength training you can possibly do. And that goes beyond anything that's been manufactured. God left a stone somewhere, and you found it. And
absolutely.
Using that to make yourself stronger. And you're doing it usually outdoors. I train indoors with my natural stones mostly in the wintertime. I'd say almost exclusively because they just get buried in several feet of snow. But
or they freeze, you know.
Yeah, they freeze. You don't want to, you know, that's the thing. You just have to be committed to get some of your stones inside each year.
Well, you know what I do here? I got those little acetylene torches. Fire them up and put it right under the stone if it's not buried in stone, and off it comes. Now it's going to freeze in the next workout.
Yeah.
But I've got so much stuff in the garage. I've got some stones, but I can't add any more.
I found build a small wooden platform and have a tarp or a box you can put over it that works perfectly fine. I had a wooden platform that was about 4x4.
Yep.
That I kept a couple of stones on, and I would just walk outdoors and I had a heavy tarp that I had over the top of it.
Yep.
I would take that off no matter how much it would snow, and I'd take it off and they'd be sitting there ready to lift. They weren't frozen to anything because there was no moisture. It was on a wooden platform.
Absolutely. Well, that's why I love the steel stones, and I'll know tomorrow. We look like we might have a local guy that's going to build them for me, and if I get one, I'm going to send you one.
Oh boy!
Because, I'll send you what he's going to do. He's going to build the smaller one, the crusher, but it's not that much smaller. It's all the same dimensions. It just doesn't hold like 600. But I'm sure with the shot and the plate trees on it, I haven't loaded it fully, but I would have to estimate 450. And I got news for you. Other than maybe you and a few others, there isn't anybody that's going to come off the street here and even attempt a 450-pound stone, because that thing is vicious, man. Now, I know it's not a river stone or it's not the Husafell, but it's mimicked. Everything on that stone is all the dimensions I took when we were in Iceland in 2008.
Sounds like a beast.
It's a beast, dude, and we're, you know, this guy can do anything, and we'll rubberize it and all that shit. And you know, if this guy says yes, I've got a few people that I'm going to send prototypes to, and obviously I'm going to want, you know, feedback like crazy with it. You'd enjoy it because you'd appreciate what it is. I mean, it's and I and you know, I did the design and everything with it. You know, it's a lot like the other stuff out there, but I got pride in what we did with it. I mean, you got two fill tubes, so you can fill it with shot on the upper and the bottom, obviously, and that's why I did the plate trees on each side, because it can be a pain in the ass when you're going like crazy. It's like, you know, I'd like to throw 10 more pounds on it. Well, I'm not going to open the top and measure the shot and weigh the shot. You know, I can throw 2 5-pound plates on it, and away we go for our next set. So that's something to think about. So, what you got? Anything else, sir?
No, I think we covered that topic. Okay. I've got a lot about the Denny's and some other Scottish stones. The next time we talk, if we
that
could.
Sounds awesome, mm-hmm. man. Bill, give out any information, anything you want. Let me give mine, and just hang on the line if you would, please.
Okay. I think the next event that I might be associated with is going back to the Arnold again. There, that's always a great thing. If anybody's ever been or can make it out to the Arnold Sports Festival, the first weekend of March each year, we'll probably have Hafthor trying the weight over bar record again. He set that record here, and that's pretty much. I'd recommend everyone for stone lifting going to the internet and look up Levantadores,
yep.
And that's a great 30-minute video about bass stone lifting.
Yep. Okay. Got anything else?
That's it.
You know, what was I going to say? Brian Shaw pulled it off again, huh? World's Strongest Man.
Yeah, he did, and he won the Arnold last year. That was his year. He's in a pattern where he wins every other year, so we'll see what happens this year.
It'll be interesting.
They're super, super heavy. I encouraged them to actually have a Denny Stone carry instead of the frame walk, but
that would be awesome.
So
man.
I think the natural stones that they're going to get, they're having bass stone lifters come, and I've been encouraging them to try natural stone lifting. I'll be honest with you. I put a bug in Colin Bryce's ear for 2012, because in 2011 I went to World Strongest Man Finals and saw everybody there.
Yes.
And,
yep.
And I encouraged Colin to think about natural stones. In 2012 they had them, and they had them back at World Strongest Man. I got a lot of complaints, and I think because they were just hard.
Yeah. You know what I'd like to do, like you were talking about? I'd like to stick them in a river and have them have to rip them out of the friggin' river. Then you'll see who the hell is the strong man.
I think 20 years ago they would have done something like that for the video.
I do, too.
But I don't
I do
think
too.
That's not going to happen today.
No, Kazmaier and those guys would have all done that stuff, man. All of them. I know they would have. All right, this is Motivation Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Don't forget, too, Hearts Collision for New York State residents, 518-477-7937. And also, don't forget about our good friend Steven Santangelo, an athlete's choice. You can contact Steven at primalcreations@aol.com or on Facebook, stephen.santangelo.75. Tell him we sent you. Also, too, Jason Fulner, don't forget to go out and order. It's really a nice workout book. I mean, you can really, really do some stuff with it. You go out, the best way that's really cheap to do it. Go out to Amazon Prime. It's $5. There's no shipping. Or you can go out to his site, planayearofworkouts.com. And like I said, this guy's great. He listens to the show and trains in a shed. That's what we're talking about here today, man. Just go out and train heavy stuff and have a good time with it. It's so simple, but, man, people just make it so damn hard. The top 10 ways to build mind and muscle on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Free ebook. Just leave us your email address. Our two big products right now, Strength Times Power Equals Success and the Winner's Circle, they're all out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Don't forget about sponsorship. This is the last month. It's going to be $100. 5 to 15 shows. Like I said, everything is in honor of my brother Jimmy. $30 goes to MDA, which we're going to get involved in more and more as our currency grows exponentially. And like I said, we're going to have millions of people listen to this show. This show is just too damn good. And when I got guys like Bill and all these other people involved with the show, that's just the feedback I get all the time. There's nobody out there like you guys. I never seen so much content given away, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the whole point, man. Help people out. you know, offer solutions. Don't be telling them that you can't do it. You know, if you really want to do something, you put in the time, it's going to happen. But it's not going to happen like everybody wants in 90 days. That's all a crock of shit. Lifting is a lifetime. It's your DNA. You live it. It's a lifestyle. You know what I mean? And it's just so damn good because it transfers to every aspect of your life. So go out to Fiorella Barbell Co. Sign up for some sponsorship. It's real easy. The form's a piece of cake. If you have problems, you can get a hold of me. Or if there's a certain show that you would like Bill and I to do, Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Don't forget, FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Keep, you know, give us a review. I've gotten 5 stars, which is the max with everybody, and I appreciate that. The more you do it, the more the show goes out. I mean, we're international right now. I'm waiting on some big things right now. If and when that all happens, this show is going to explode. We could potentially get 1 million listeners within the year. That's how big this announcement could be. Obviously, too, we're on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell, Motivation Muscle. We're on Twitter at Fiorello Eric, and I'll leave you with these things like we always do. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them some words of encouragement. We know from here, words can do one or two things. They can encourage you or destroy you. Encourage people. Make them want to be better than what they are now, and they will do that for you. We keep spreading it down the line. Also, too, I didn't say this before, but especially the sponsorship, you know, come to our table, come to my family, join in. That's what everybody's doing. We're just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. We're going to be the ones that are going to put our thumb on the world, man. Screw all the other shit that just tells you you can't do it. You know, it's too hard. We don't subscribe to any of that. We make the path. We clear cut the path, not follow it. Also, too, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to smile at somebody or give them a hello. You never know. That might be all they get that day. Obviously, if you're going to go out and lift, like Bill said, he's got snow and rain. We've got rain, it looks like, right through the end of tonight. So it's really cold and dark here. But you know what? You go out and train anyways. You heard Bill talking about all that. I do the same thing. I love going out in snowstorms and carrying stones. I can't even see a foot in front of me. But that's the idea of it. It's the fun of it, man. So go out and do that today. Take some stones and turn them into dust. And as Ahusa Steel Crusher Stone says in blood red with the words domination on both sides, we are domination and we will be millions and millions strong. And I always say this, no one's ever going to clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. I'll thank you, Russell, forever with that. Until the day we go off the air, that will always be said. Bill Crawford, thanks for being on, and it's great to start the new year out with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. For Bill Crawford, this is Eric Fiorello. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Bill will be on next month. I will get this show up within the next day or two. And like I said, be a steward of strength and don't stand on the side of the road watching the world go by. Go out and make a difference. It's not that hard. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you. Well, I'm going to have more shows on today, and obviously we start the big show tomorrow morning. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.